That song says, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." Just such debtors to grace, aren't we? Such debtors to grace. Go with me, if you would, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul was a man who was well acquainted with trials and sufferings. Very, very well acquainted. I would think that no man ever endured the trials and sufferings that Job did, especially in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, no man endured the trial and the suffering that Job did. And in the New Testament, I would say that no man endured the trials and sufferings that the Apostle Paul did. He was so well acquainted with heartache and suffering. He endured the pain of his physical suffering, much physical suffering. That man was beaten. That man was tortured. That man was imprisoned and imprisoned and imprisoned. He was stoned and left for dead. They left him because they thought he was dead. But he also endured the pain of his mental and emotional sufferings. Before God stopped him, God in mercy, he was on his way to Damascus. He was carrying letters to harm God's people. And God stopped him. And God revealed himself to him. But before God stopped him and saved him from what he was and what he was doing, Paul beat and tortured and imprisoned and killed the Lord's people, his brethren. All those things that happened to him, he was beaten, he was tortured, he was imprisoned. Well, that's the very thing that he did to God's people, his brethren. And Paul had to live with that. He had to live with that. He had to deal with the memories and the guilt. How many times do you think those things just played over in his mind and he just smote upon himself saying, "Oh my goodness." Self. Loathing. I mean true self-loathing. He cried, "I'm a wretched man." You know that feeling. You every now and then your mind goes back to something in your past and you think, "Oh." You think about Paul. Well, he said right here in our text that he had a thorn in his flesh. A thorn in his flesh. I don't know if that was just everything that he endured in his sinful flesh or if that was just one thing that happened. Our Lord was not pleased to tell us what that thorn in the flesh was. So many men have tried to speculate on it and think about it. But our Lord, in his absolute wisdom and in his kindness, he was not pleased to tell us what that thorn in the flesh was, because if he did, we would associate the comfort that goes along with that thorn with that one thing. But because our Lord was not pleased to tell us what it is, we can associate this comfort with every single thorn that comes to our flesh. Whatever it is that we're going through, we can apply our Lord's words to the thorn. Every trial, every suffering, every pain, all of it. In verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." I besought him three times, "that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," this is what the Lord said to him, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace is sufficient for thee. In every thorn that comes, every trial, every pain, every suffering, for a child of God, for a true child of God, the truth of the matter is, and the comfort of the matter is, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. It is sufficient to get you through the trial. It is sufficient for an explanation of the trial. It's a sufficient explanation of the trial. It's a sufficient understanding of the trial. It's sufficient. It is absolutely sufficient. Whenever you're at that point where you're saying, "Why? Why?" His grace. His grace. Why would something like this happen? Why would something like this happen? His grace. It's His grace. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this? His grace. What is the outcome of this going to be? When all the dust settles, what is the outcome of all this going to be? His grace. It's going to be His grace. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. It is so sufficient. The first time the word grace is mentioned in the Scripture is in Genesis 6, verse 8, when it says that the Lord looked down on the wickedness, the absolute wickedness of every man and woman on this earth. And He saw that every imagination and thought of every heart was only evil continually. And it grieved the Lord, the Scripture says. And He sighed in His heart. And He said, "I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth." It says, but Noah found grace. Noah found grace. Noah found something that was sufficient for him and for God. What was it? God's grace. God's grace. The Scripture speaks of the word of His grace. This right here is the word of His grace. That's what this tells us of. The Scripture speaks of the gospel of His grace. That's what we're preaching. The good news, the wonderful news of His grace. The Scripture describes it as abundant grace. When it speaks of it, it calls it abundant grace. It calls it exceeding grace. It calls it manifold grace. The scripture describes our Lord as the God of all grace. The God of all grace. And once that's revealed to a child of God, that child will see that his grace is sufficient. That child will know if he'll just pour grace on this, everything will be fine. If he'll just pour grace on this, if God will just pour his grace on it, everything will be fine. His grace will be sufficient. Now, what is his grace? What is his grace? Simply put, grace means gift. That's what the word means. It means favor. It means kindness. If God will just pour his favor on this, if God will just pour his kindness on this, if God will just cover all of this in his gift, everything will be fine. It's his favor, it's his kindness, freely bestowed, freely given. Our Lord's reply to the Apostle Paul for the trial, that suffering and that pain that he was going through was this. Our Lord said, My gift that I've freely given to you is sufficient. My gift is sufficient. And honestly, it is. It is. If you've ever needed it, you know it is. It is. That's all you need. That's all you need. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians 9, verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable grace." His unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. For God so loved this wicked, hell-deserving world, he gave his only begotten Son for it. The Son of grace. The gift of Christ. Christ himself. The Apostle Paul, he was begging God for help. When he said, I asked him three times, that man was begging God for help. Would you please help me? Would you please help me? And God said to him, he said, Christ and everything he's done for you and everything that he's given to you is sufficient. I need help. I need help. Christ and everything he's done for you and everything he's given to you is sufficient. Totally sufficient. The comfort in everything that he paid for you and in everything that he has secured for you, just knowing what he's done, just knowing what he's done, that's sufficient. And honestly, it is. It is. Even when circumstances down here don't change, it is. It's sufficient. It's all that a believer needs. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 5 says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down. How often are we cast down? But we're not destroyed, are we? And how can that be? Why is that? It's because of this grace right here, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That's the reason why. It's because we're always carrying with us the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Everything that happens to us in this lifetime is bringing us to. It is bringing us back to. It's reminding us again. Everything that happens to us is reminding us again of our God's grace to us. Everything. Verse 15 right here, he said, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what our God was comforting the Apostle Paul with when he said, my grace is sufficient. And that's what he comforts every one of his children with. In their moment of trial and suffering and pain, and if a man or a woman or a boy or a girl is a child of God, he promises that trial, suffering, and pain will come. It will come. But it's okay. It's okay. Because in our moments of trial and suffering and pain, he reminds each one of his people that their light affliction is only for a moment. It's only for a moment. And the exceeding weight and the sinless, holy bliss of glory, that's eternal. That's just right around the corner. It's about to come. And that's eternal. This is just for a minute. That's what the word of his grace says to the hearts of his people. I know it's painful. I know it's tough, but it's just for a minute. You have an eternal weight of glory waiting for you. You have an eternal weight of sinless bliss waiting for you with the person of your Savior. And it's all because of the gift of his grace. It's all because of the body he gave and the blood he gave. The gift of his pain and his suffering in our place. The gift of his substitution. The Father said, that is sufficient. And honestly, it is. It is. It is so sufficient. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He became humbled. He became broken. He became sorrowful even unto death. He became emptied. Why did he do that? That you, through his poverty, might be rich. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing that is sufficient. It's sufficient. God the Father said that gift through him is sufficient for all your sorrow. Knowing what Christ did and hoping in what Christ did, and looking to what Christ did and believing on what Christ did, longing for what Christ did, that's sufficient. That will ease the pain of every thorn that comes to your flesh. And the Apostle Paul said, I can tell you that is so from personal experience. Personal experience. Look back at our text. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, he said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise. Caught up into paradise. Our Lord told that thief on the cross, today you're going to be with me in paradise. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it's not possible for a man to utter. Words of grace. Those who heard him said, oh, the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Verse 5, Paul said, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's when it shines the brightest. That's when you see it the clearest. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. He said, when I'm weak, that's the moment that I'm strong. How could he take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and in thorns in the flesh? How could he say that? Why would he say that? Why would the Apostle Paul say that? He said, it's because I know that every time they come, they will take me by the hand and lead me back to the grace of my God every single time. Every single time. James said, count it all joy the next time a trial comes to you. That's what James said. It's not always what this flesh does, but that's what the apostle said. He said, you count it all joy the next time a trial comes to you. Why, James? Why? He said, there in James, he said, because God is going to give you more grace. That's the reason why he giveth more grace. That's the reason why. God is going to use that to draw you nearer to himself. He's going to draw you nearer to his cross, and he will. We know it's so. In those moments, when something comes, that's the moment he lays hold of us by the hand of his grace. And he pulls us near to him. He pulls us nearer to his blood. He pulls us near to the glory and the comfort of being with him. And that's what we want, isn't it? Charles Spurgeon wrote concerning Psalm 42, verse 9, which says, why go I mourning? Why am I so sad? That's what Psalm 42, verse 9 says. Charles Spurgeon wrote, why go I mourning? Canst thou answer this, believer? Canst thou find any reason why thou art so often mourning instead of rejoicing? Why yield to gloomy anticipations? Who told thee that night would never end in day? It would just stay night and stay night and stay night and stay night. Who told thee that the sea of circumstances would ebb out till there should be nothing left but long leagues of the mud of horrible poverty? It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Who told thee that the winter of thy discontent would proceed from frost to frost, from snow and ice and hail to deeper snow and yet more heavy tempest of despair? Knowest thou not that day follows night, that flood comes after ebb, that spring and summer succeed to winter? Hope thou then. He said, has God convinced you of that? Hope in it then. Hope thou ever, for God fails thee not. Dost thou not know that thy God loves thee in the midst of all this? Do you not know that the Lord God loves you in the midst of all this? Mountains, when in darkness hidden, are as real as in day. Just because you can't see it, it doesn't mean they're not there. And God's love is as true to thee now as it was in thy brightest moments. No father chastens always. The Lord hates the rod as much as thou dost. He only cares to use it for that reason which should make thee willing to receive it, namely that it works thy lasting good. It brings you back to him. Thou shalt yet climb Jacob's ladder with the angels, and behold him who sits at the top of it, thy covenant God. He made a promise. Thou shalt yet, amidst the splendors of eternity, forget the trials of time, or only remember them to bless the God who led thee through them and wrought thy lasting good by them. He said, good is going to come. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Spurgeon said, come sing in the midst of tribulation. Rejoice even while passing through the furnace. Make the wilderness to blossom like the rose. Cause the desert to ring with thine exalting joys. For these light afflictions will soon be over. And then forever with the Lord, thy bliss shall never wane. Every child of God will come to realize, and every child of God will be able to say with absolute certainty, that no matter what it is that we go through, his grace is sufficient. His favor, His kindness, His gift is sufficient. It is and it will be. It is and it will be. All right, Brother Eddie, you come and lead us in a hymn.